Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 75 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm your host, Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Daria Denisenko.
I believe that what we need to do is we need to shelf this, table this for another time.
Kentucky superintendents are joining the chorus of critics who want to stop a tax credit bill from becoming law.
A Rowan County grand jury has indicted a man for the murder of his girlfriend last year.
Questions remain about why the state's juvenile justice commissioner has been on a months-long leave.
The University of Kentucky is expanding its vaccine clinic by accepting next-phase members and people from outside the state.
Officials say people in eastern Kentucky are being targeted by scammers after historic flooding.
In sports, 16th region action continues tonight at Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Rowland County grand jury has indicted Gary Jeffries for the murder of his girlfriend, Jillian Clayton, last year. In addition to murder, he's accused of tampering with physical evidence, abuse of a corpse, as well as being a persistent felony offender. Jeffries is accused of shooting Clayton, then dumping her body in a wooded area less than half a mile from her home. Prosecutors say he then covered the body in motor oil in an attempt to conceal evidence. If convicted, Jeffries could face capital punishment. He remains in the Rowan County Detention Center on a $100,000 cash bond. His next court appearance is scheduled for April 16th.
The grand jury also returned indictments against four individuals for violent crimes. Jordan Atkins was indicted on four counts, including violating a protective order, assault, kidnapping, and burglary. Atkins was accused of unlawfully entering a home and attempting to kidnap his former girlfriend, who had the protective order against him. Atkins then violently attacked the victim's father, who was attempting to stop him. He faces up to 50 years in prison if convicted. Michael Thompson was indicted on charges of kidnapping and assault. He's accused of injuring a woman in a domestic dispute and then preventing her from leaving a home in Moorhead. He could face 20 years if convicted. Jade Davis was indicted on assault and burglary charges, while co-defendant Austin Brewer was indicted for menacing and complicity to burglary for allegedly assisting Davis in a crime. The pair faces up to 10 years each if convicted. Jacob Chambers was indicted on one count of unlawful transaction with a minor. He's accused of inducing a minor to engage in illegal drug activity. He faces up to 5 years if convicted.
Kentucky superintendents are joining the chorus of critics who want to stop a tax credit bill from becoming law. Passage of the bill could come down to the wire in the final days of the legislative session. School district leaders held a press conference Tuesday in opposition to House Bill 563. The bill gives a tax credit to donors who could collectively contribute up to $25 million to an education funding pool. Low-income students could then draw on those funds for a variety of education expenses, including private school tuition. Proponents view the idea as promoting school choice, but opponents see it as a potential drain on public school funding. Henry County Superintendent Terry Price says he believes the bill needs to be tabled.
We're not saying that choice for parents and for students should not be on the table. However, I believe that right now with the language in the bill, how wonky it is, ambiguous that it is, that what we need to do is we need to shelf this, table this for another time, and different K groups such as our superintendent group, our Association of School Administrators, all of those individuals need to be brought to the table to discuss this.
While the bill could be vetoed by Governor Andy Beshear, the General Assembly has a chance to override. And it could be a close one in the Kentucky House, which passed the bill by a single vote.
Questions remain about why the state's juvenile justice commissioner has been on a month-long leave. So far, state officials, including Governor Andy Beshear, have declined to comment on LaShawna Harris, who is under investigation. She's been on a leave since January. Beshear told reporters Monday the matter was being handled directly by the personnel cabinet, but his administration would work to get a comment from them. A consultant with the state justice cabinet has argued public release of information about the matter could prejudice witnesses and taint the investigation. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the cabinet has not explained why or how long Harris has been on leave or whether she's being paid. Harris was appointed to the top juvenile justice post in December 2019.
The University of Kentucky is expanding its vaccine clinic by accepting next phase members and people from outside the state. People from outside the state must have a connection to the state, such as work or being a student at one of the colleges in the Commonwealth. UK Chief of Police Joe Monroe has been charged with leading the vaccine operation at Kroger Field. He tells LAX 18 the decline in vaccination appointments may not be due to people not wanting a shot.
You know, of course, there's going to be people who won't be vaccinated. They just refuse to be vaccinated. And I think everybody understands that. The decline that we're seeing, I think, is based on the number of different sites across the Commonwealth.
The expansion is due to the university noticing some openings on its COVID-19 vaccine schedule and how quickly the vaccines have been given.
Health officials say it is crucial for people to go to their COVID-19 booster appointment. As many are getting vaccinated, some people are missing their second shot because of scheduling conflicts or other factors. Dr. Sarah Beth Hartledge is the Associate Medical Director of Department of Health and Wellness. She tells WIMT the timing of the vaccine is important.
There is no process for starting over, so the optimal timing is to receive your booster within 42 days of your primary dose.
She adds, if someone knows they will not be able to attend their vaccine appointment, they should reschedule a few days before. Officials also remind the public they must wait the required days before getting the second dose, not any earlier.
Officials say people in eastern Kentucky are being targeted by scammers after historic flooding. Melissa Riddle is part of Estill County Emergency Management. She tells WYMT they've already received a report of someone impersonating the Red Cross. She warns that more scammers could be lurking as Estill County moves forward with recovery.
Now watch for scams with contractors. Do not pay anything up front. After the work's complete, then pay them, but do not give anybody money up front.
Flood victims who are hesitant to accept help can contact emergency management to make sure they're not being scammed.
Johnson County officials are continuing their push for additional help after extensive storm damage. Officials are seeking assistance from both state and federal governments. Johnson County Judge Executive Mark McKenzie tells WIMT they're working with partners across Commonwealth to guarantee relief.
We met with state Kentucky Emergency Management and FEMA officials to do preliminary damage assessments for individual properties and businesses here in our community.
McKenzie adds he is hopeful for the future of Johnson County.
Residents in Martin County are still without a reliable water source. For 8 years, families in one Martin County community have used a token station to bring water to their homes. The families who use the service haul their tanks to the token station, insert a token, fill the tanks, then travel back home with their water. The station has been out of service for more than 6 weeks. The problem leaves the families without access to the only water flow they have. Craig Miller is the Alliance Water Resources Division Manager. He tells WYMT the specific damage done to the pipe at this time requires more than a quick fix.
We're going to get it fixed. We're going to get it fixed as quickly as we can. And once we do that, we're going to put some measures in place to try to ensure that we don't have any issues with things breaking in there again.
He adds there's currently no timetable for restoration, but the management group and the water company are working to make it happen soon.
Black Jewel is trying to sell off its Kentucky coal mines. WMKY's Lake and Hub has the story.
In 2019, Black Jewel went bankrupt for leaving hundreds of miners unpaid for weeks. The company has 170 permits in Kentucky to sell, possibly leaving the state responsible for $70 million in reclamation costs. Stephen Lerner is the attorney representing Black Jewel. He tells WYMT the company could not take on or pay for the reclamation at the mines due to the financial situation of the organization. For the next 6 months, the company will continue to look for third parties to purchase their permits. After 6 months, the permits will be abandoned. For WMKY News, I'm Laken Huff.
A new food delivery service in Lexington is expanding. Delivery Co-op launched in 2020 and was first tested in two restaurants. Now, several more have been added. Aaron Withers is the food delivery service founder. He tells WKYT new technology, like the robots they plan to use in the future, will help restaurants after more than 1 year of restrictions.
The plan is to kind of have them be in a small area and to deliver to like certain buildings or hospitals.
If interested in becoming a driver or a customer, go to Delivery Co-op's website.
A team of AmeriCorps National Civilian Community volunteers are working to rehabilitate two of Kentucky's popular state parks. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
There's been a greater use of national parks during the pandemic. The team has been working on invasive species removal as well as trail rebuilding and other restoration tasks on Pine Mountain and Cumberland Falls. The team tells WKYT they enjoy the time outside and doing something to help the environment. The AmeriCorps group consists of youths aged 18 to 26. They each work with the service program for 10 months. For WMKY, I'm Rachel Turner.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, expect showers with thunderstorms after 4 p.m., increasing clouds with a high near 70. On Thursday night, expect a low around 54. On Friday, it's partly sunny with a high near 65. On Friday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 45. On Saturday, it's mostly sunny with a high near 74. And on Saturday night, it's mostly cloudy with a low around 52.
On our feature segment today, the upcoming removal of a dam along Elkhorn Creek in central Kentucky is being celebrated by paddlers of the popular Whitewater River. WMKY's Carrie Stambo has the story.
The Elkhorn Creek Dam is a lowhead, or weir dam, built more than 80 years ago for fire protection at the Jim Beam Old Granddad Bourbon Plant. The dam has long been known as a treacherous obstacle to paddling Elkhorn Creek. Canoe Kentucky owner Nathan Deppenbrock, whose business has operated on Elkhorn Creek for 40 years, explains why the dam's 9-foot man-made waterfall is so dangerous.
When you create a dam, you create a perfect hydraulic. And the more water going over it, the farther downstream that what we call the boil line occurs. And that's where the water is returning to the surface. And anything below the boil line is safe, but anything above it wants to pull you back in and basically just keep you in there. It doesn't want to let you go. On that dam, when you typically would paddle the creek, the boil line could be anywhere from 8 feet behind the dam to 30 feet behind the dam. So that means if you put your boat in anywhere in that area, you're going to be stuck.
To avoid that dangerous hydraulic, paddlers have had to portage around the dam only a short distance from a put-in at the forks of the Elkhorn, where the north and south branches come together. Deppenbrock explains what it's like to navigate around the so-called perfect hydraulic.
Well, you're pulling right up to the edge of it, behind a wall that sticks out into the creek about 8 feet wide, trying to get out of your canoe and kayak, trying not to let it slip out of your hands and slip over the edge of the dam, and then you're carrying it over a bunch of very uneven, shelfy rocks, a good 75 feet below, trying to put back in, always looking upstream to say, is it pulling me back in? And it's just this very fearful thing.
The dam claimed its most recent drowning victim in 2018 when experienced kayaker 35-year-old Matthew Hughes drowned after being sucked back into the undertow of the dam. After spending more than 2 minutes trying to free himself with a rescue rope thrown to him by his friend and paddling companion, he was wearing his life jacket. Deppenbrock explains Hughes' death reignited calls for the dam's removal.
It really kind of brought that group's energy back together to say, look, we got to do something here. We're seeing our sport grow in popularity, and we're getting many more people out in the water. Most people aren't going to participate in it as safely as these folks had, and so we want to make sure we're creating a safe experience.
Beam Suntory, which owns the distillery, was receptive and began taking steps to remove it almost immediately.
Beam really invested a lot of money. They invested millions of dollars into creating a new water retention system so that that dam would not be necessary anymore. And once that system was done, they made the choice to say, you know, we don't need it there anymore. We don't like the liability of it, so why not? And so they have contracted with Federal Fish and Wildlife, and Federal Fish and Wildlife actually worked with the crew to remove the dam.
Removal, which was slated for earlier this month, was pushed back due to recent high waters, but it will happen. Deppenbrock says it should take less than a week once it's started.
What will it look like when it's gone? Nobody really knows yet until it's actually gone. But we do know that the whole thing will be removed because Federal Fish and Wildlife is doing it. They do make sure there are ample navigational channels. So what it does mean is you'll no longer have to walk that treacherous trail around what was the dam, and you'll be able to access that stretch without the fear of it being there.
Deppin Brock says he expects Elkhorn Creek will attract even more paddlers after the dam is removed, and it will also benefit local wildlife. For WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo reporting.
Next Wednesday, we'll take a closer look at water sports in Kentucky.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 75 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Daria Denisenko and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports coming up, but first, I just want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this lovely Wednesday evening.
16th Region girls are hitting the hardwood again tonight in Morehead. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The girls' 16th Region basketball action continues tonight in Morehead State University's Johnson Arena. In tonight's first matchup, Russell will face off with Menifee County. The two teams met just one time during regular season play. That game ended with a 50-35 win for Russell. Tip-off tonight is set for 5:30 p.m. In the nightcap game, Wes Carter will face off with Ashland Blazer. Those teams met twice during the regular season, with the Kittens coming out with a win in both matches. Tip-off in that game is set for 8 p.m. The second round of the tournament takes place on Friday night with Rowan County and Boyd County at 5:30. The winners of tonight's game will face off at 8. We'll have scores from tonight's first round action tomorrow on Morning Edition. Morehead State University softball is back in action this afternoon to take on OVC rival Eastern Kentucky. The two schools were originally scheduled to compete at University Field, but possible inclement weather has pushed the doubleheader to Richmond. Head coach Samantha Jones says EKU is one of the best teams in the Ohio Valley Conference.
Coach has been there for, gosh, I feel like it's been over 20 years she's been there. She's really kind of an imprint in that program and just built a great culture and a great winning tradition, and so she continues to carry that even presence. You know, the game's going to be very competitive. It's going to be a good challenge.
Live stats for the MSU-EKU doubleheader are available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State volleyball team is working toward a perfect season. The Eagles will face off with Jacksonville State this weekend for the final matches of regular season play. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says her team is running on all cylinders.
I think our team did well in diversifying the offense. It's tempting at times to get stuck only using a couple of our weapons, but our setter and our passers did a nice job allowing her to find basically anyone she wanted.
Game time with the Gamecocks is set for 6 p.m. on Sunday. Limited seating is still available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State soccer team hits the road this week for a Friday afternoon matchup in Alabama. The Eagles will face off with Jacksonville State. The Gamecocks stand at 2-3-1 on their season. MSU head coach Warren Lipka says his team knows what to expect from this contest.
I think they're a much improved team. I've watched film on them. You know, they got a result from Murray just this past weekend, and they're a kind of team that's kind of growing like us. You know, they got a couple wins under their belts now that, they get on the board.
Game time on Friday is set for 4 p.m. And finally in sports this afternoon, the Morehead State baseball team is preparing for a 3-game series with UT Martin this weekend. The Eagles are coming off a 3-1 series with Norfolk State last weekend in Virginia, which moved the team to 10-10 on the season. MSU is currently 2-1 in conference play.
The 7-9 Skyhawks went 1-2 with Eastern Kentucky University last weekend. UT Martin stands at 3-3 in their conference. Game times in Martin, Tennessee this weekend are set for 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. on Friday. They'll face off again on Saturday at 1 p.m. Live game coverage will be available at MSUEagles.com. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Philip Lawson Real Estate and Auction, hosting an estate auction on March 27th at 10 a.m. Located in Frenchburg, Tract 1 includes a home and lot. Tract 2 and 3 are located near Cave Run Lake with 39 and 56 acres. Auctions will be held on Saturday, March 27th. Tract 1 begins at 10 a.m., Tracts 2 and 3 at 11:30 a.m. Philip Lawson, broker and auctioneer, serving the area since 1977. More information at 606-768-3583. Facebook and online at philiplawsonrealestate.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 gave up earlier gains and closed in the red as tech stocks sold off, continuing the market rotation out of high-flying growth names. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 3.09 at 32,420.06. The S&P 500 was down 21.38 at 3889.14, and the NASDAQ composite was the hardest hit of the major indices, finishing down 265.81 at 12,961.89, and this was a 2% drop in the NASDAQ. And NASDAQ heavyweights such as Apple, Facebook, and Netflix all slid more than 2%. Tesla was down almost 5%, and classic reopening plays such as cruise lines rolled lower in the afternoon or traded lower in the afternoon, and this after the CDC said the sailing order limiting cruises will stay in place until November 1st. Norwegian was down 4.9%, and Carnival Cruise Lines dropped 2.8%. Energy stocks were the best performers as oil was up over 5%, and West Texas Intermediate crude oil was up 5.14% in today's trading at $60.73 a barrel, while gold was up 0.5% at $1,733 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up $1.25 at $94.17, AEP at 35 cents at $84.99, Anthem was up $9.04 at $360.87, App Harvest was down $1.42 at $19.29, and U.S. Bancorp is down 11 cents to finish at $53.47. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, expect showers with thunderstorms after 4 p.m., increasing clouds with a high near 70. On Thursday night, expect a low around 54. On Friday, it's partly sunny with a high near 65. On Friday night, it's mostly clear with a low around 45. On Saturday, it's mostly sunny with a high near 74. And on Saturday night, it's mostly cloudy with a low around 52 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Heather Fannin, Sarah Mead, Lakin Hupp, Benjamin Hall, Rachel Turner, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Harry Stambo. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.